Can you imagine a robot that's 100,000 times smaller than the width of a human hair? Devices this small, called nanobots, sound like something out of science fiction, but researchers at the University of Cambridge have this week moved just one step closer to them being a reality, with a hope that one day they'll be able to use them in the body for drug delivery. Professor Jeremy Baumberg spoke to Emma Sackville this week about turning nanobots into na-yes-bots.
Well, we've had this idea that you could make tiny machines, what people have called nanobots, that could actually go inside the body or they could do something useful for us. And the problem has been we can't make them.
Why is it that we have problems making them?
When we try to make things move in water and they're very small, it's a bit like us trying to swim in treacle. It's very, very difficult. So we need to actually swim in a different way that we can't do front crawl in treacle. We have to do something a bit more like a black terrier, which is sort of flex things backwards and forwards. And that's actually really difficult to do. It needs a lot of force. And we haven't found a way of actually making things that produce a large force on this really small scale before.
But the research you've just done is actually looking at making something that moves on a really small scale and produces that kind of force.
Yeah, we call them actuating nanotransducers, or ANTs for short, because they are big, they're strong things and they can move more than their body weight. So what we've done is we've made some tiny particles which got a coating on them. And what these particles do under the right circumstances is they can actually produce a really large kick. And the way it works is we take tiny little particles, in this case we make them of gold, and we've learned to coat them with a thin polymer, a bit like the polymers in our plastic bags, but this one's a gel. And most of the time, at room temperature, it likes to have little fibrils of the polymer which spread out into water. But if you just heat it a tiny amount, a few degrees, what happens is it starts to hate water. It becomes hydrophobic, like many of us with swimming pools. And actually, this gel will collapse. So we have these metal nanoparticles, and they want to now stick together because they're trying to get away from the water. So they stick together really close. It's like a spring. They'll compress this polymer in between them. If they cool down very, very slightly, all of this reverses. And now the polymer wants to spread out into the water, but it's got to push apart the metal nanoparticles to be able to do that. So everything explodes. The nice thing is that we can do this heating and cooling with very weak beams of light. And so we can actually make a little engine which is just powered by a very small beam of light.
Great. Well, can I go and see some of them in action?
Indeed.
So I don't know what they're set up or anything.
As Jeremy took me over to the lab, I tried to mentally recap exactly how these ants worked. So we have tiny bits of gold coated with a gel. And below 30 degrees, they like water and they're really spread out. If we heat them up or shine a light on them, then they stop liking water and they all scrunch together, just like a spring, as Jeremy said. PhD researcher Sean Cormier joined us in the lab to show me this change in action.
Some of the ants, nice red colour, and you just have to heat it up above 32 degrees.
Okay, so we've got like a little tiny capsule just with a red liquid in, and it's just in an oil bath at the moment, so we're just heating it up. And what exactly are we looking for?
So what will happen is all the particles will actually change the way they interact with the water, and they'll change color because they'll stop liking the water and all collapse on top of each other. And now they're very purple.
Yeah, okay, so the liquid's actually changed from red to purple. It changed pretty quick. How fast have you been able to measure it changing?
So in fact, it's too fast for us to measure at the moment, and that's why it gives such a big force. And in fact, it's gone back to red. So what happens is all the ants cluster together, it goes purple, and then as soon as it cools, they explode. So that's how we keep track of it, by looking at the colour.
It feels very weird to be in a lab without wearing lab specs, I must say.
That's good. You came from a good chemist.
I'm a chemist.
Everything is very safe at the moment, but you're right. We normally do.
Despite the name, the gel Sean and Jeremy showed me really looked nothing like an ant. I asked Jeremy whether he had any specific ideas about how they could use the ants or whether there are any future applications.
So there's this area of science called microfluidics, where you try and make little chemical refineries in some ways, but shrunk down onto the size of a chip. So that's their idea for one of the earliest applications. For applications where we put them in our body, yes, indeed, we really don't know how to do that yet. One of the good things is we don't just have to use light to make these things open and close. So it's actually rather a generic technology. And yeah, we have to find out what's the killer application, or maybe the non-killer application for the body.
And if we did want to use them for these kind of applications, how easy is it to make them? Is a large-scale synthesis of them feasible?
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. All the components, it turns out, are completely commodity. We can buy them on a very large scale. So in fact, already there's nothing stopping us scaling these up and making a kilogram of these ants. We can replace the gold nanoparticles that we use at the moment with silver nanoparticles, which is cheaper. And we can use nickel or copper as well. That should be fine. So making them is not the problem. The question is how to turn them into something useful. And that's going to take us, the next year. We want to make some of these demonstrators in the next year. But of course, what we really want is a lot of other scientists to join us on this quest.
Professor Jeremy Bamberg from the University of Cambridge talking about his recent paper in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.